For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garz.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
Ah, Felix,
yes.
I can't believe who we have as a guest DJ today. He's truly an icon, and he's one of the reasons I got into Latin alternative music as a kid. I'm talking about Manu Chao. Manu Chao. Right now we're listening to the song Me Gustas Tú. He's playing here in the US, and he was kind enough to swing by our member station WRTI in Philadelphia to talk to us.
There's so much to say about Manu Chao, his incredibly eclectic origins, his fascinating soulful music. We have so many questions, so without further ado...
Manu, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
12 de la noche en La Habana, Cuba.
11 de la noche en San Salvador, El Salvador.
11 de la noche en Managua, Nicaragua.
Me gustan los aviones, me gustas tú. Me gusta viajar, me gustas tú. Me gusta la mañana, me gustas tú. Me gusta el viento, me gustas tú. Me gusta soñar, me gustas tú. Me gusta la mar, me gustas tú. ¿Qué voy a hacer? Je ne sais pas. ¿Qué voy a hacer? Je ne sais plus.
So, Manu, you've had such a fascinating life, really, since you were born, and maybe even before you were born. You were born in France to Spanish parents who were fleeing Franco's dictatorship. Your grandfather, I read, had been sentenced to death. And I'm just wondering, how would you describe your childhood, given those circumstances? Was it scary? What was it like?
I was the everyday life of the suburbs of Paris. And I was quite lucky because we lived not very far from a big wood, so I could hang around a lot in the wood and get high there in my woods and do my own silly things of the youth, and a lot of bicycle around, so I was lucky for sure. And after of course the neighborhood, all the kids of the neighborhood playing football there and doing first rock and roll bands and first little stupidities around.
What kind of music were you listening to on the street and in your home?
Well, when I was really a kid in my house, the music was, of course, the music of my parents. And there was a lot of music from South America. And I remember really my favorite was a Cuban pianist called Bola de Nieve.
Mamá la negrita, se le salen los pies la cunita. Y la negra mece, ya no sabe qué hacer. Tú drume negrita, que yo va a comprar nueva cunita, que va a tener capite, que va a tener. Si tú drumí, yo te traigo un mamey muy colorado. Y si no drumí, yo te traigo un babalao que da pau pau. Tú drumé negrita, que yo va a comprar nueva cunita. Que va a tener capite, que va a tener cacabe.
We still sing songs of him, and he was really my favorite when I was a little kid.
You know, you were the child of immigrants escaping a truly an awful situation. And was there music that you felt spoke about your situation?
The immigration of my parents, when it was in the 50s, so whenever I'm born, the situation for Spanish community or Portuguese community was not so bad anymore, because the problem was over, maybe for my parents, but the situation in my neighborhood, of course, there was communities from a lot of countries, and by the time already started the problem for immigration from Africa, and that was the main problem, you know, still now even more, no? the Berlin Wall fall, and everybody said it was a big victory in Europe for freedom. But now there's a biggest wall between Africa and Europe, and that is really killing people every day. That's a tragedy, no?
Which came first for you, Manu, politics or music?
Oh, I think music, for sure.
Uh-huh.
When were you a little kid, you're not really involved in what's happening in society and things going good or going bad. You are in your little world of childhood and discovering the world, and maybe I was not involved in that. I thought everybody and everything was okay. It's after, when you get in the, you start to be teenager and get out in the neighborhood and see the difference between one guy and another guy, the difference between different parts of the city, between different parts of society.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get attracted to music, and what was the first band you played in?
My first band was in the neighborhood. I used to play bass, so I tried to find a band. So I put a little my telephone on the battery, so somebody could call me if they need a bass player. So some guys called me, and they were really from the tough guys of the neighborhood, and they were looking for bass player. So I get involved. I was very young. That's where I meet all the gang from the neighborhood, really. So I start playing bass, but their problem is they couldn't find any singer. Nobody want to sing with them because maybe they were scared, or maybe they were beaten, or there was always problems. So one day these guys couldn't find any singer, so I was the young man, and I was not so strong as them, so they decided I would be the singer. It was not my decision, it was their decision.
So you say they're like tough guys, were you kind of scared of them a little bit?
Of course, we have to say yes, I'm gonna be singer. But I was not happy at all. But now I really thank these guys, you know.
That's hilarious.
They start my career, and they put me in the good road.
So you became very well known with the band Mano Negra, which is a reference to the Spanish anarchist group.
Mano Negra, I wrote the name in a comic book. But the interesting thing is Mano Negra, in all around the world, you can find different significations of Mano Negra. In Spain, it was an anarchist group from Andalusia in the early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarajevo was a kind of another kind of anarchist movement. It's a signal of black magic also. It's a lot of things different in every country is different.
Why don't we listen to a song from your days with Mano Negra? This is Mala Vida, or Bad Life.
Chale. Porque trato yo también cuando tú me hablas como un cabrón. Tana mía, corazón está sufriendo. Tana mía, por favor. Sufriendo malnutrición me está dando.
Me estás dando
mala vida. Cádiz se la trae mi corazón. Dime tú por qué trato yo también cuando tú me
You know, Manu, when I hear that song, I hear, obviously, the Mano Negra sound. But can you pick that song apart and tell us what influences are you hearing come together in that song?
Well, it was the time where we were listening a lot to rock and roll from England. In Paris, it was coming from England, a lot of rock and roll, and from the US too. And also my influences from the country of my parents, from Spain. I used to go to Spain every year. And there was a lot of kind of rumba and flamenco, and you know, all the kids were listening to that in the neighborhoods there. So Mala Vida is a kind of mix between the rock and roll we listen in the neighborhoods in France and the influence of my own culture in Spain.
Now, even though I really love your very first record, Pachanga, I think that Casa Babylon, which is the last of the Mano Negra albums, has some of my favorite Mano Negra songs. And one of them was the song Señor Matanza, or Mr. Slaughter. The lyrics to this song are really powerful, and they say, he decides what happens, he says what will not be, he decides who pays for things, he says who will suffer. This land and that bar are property of Mr. Slaughter. At the time you wrote this song, was there a specific incident or person that inspired you to write Señor Matanza?
I wrote this song, I was in Colombia in 1992, 93. I was working on a project to cross all Colombia in a train, and by the time it was very hard and difficult to do that because there was a lot of mafias and paramilitaries controlling the country, and so we have to go and cross. The country is controlled by these kind of guys, so we could see the reality, and all around South America we could find this kind of situation of mafia. It's mafia, it's people out of the law controlling the country. And more and more now, everywhere around the world, it's growing up and up. And I think it's the worst danger, actually, for democracy. We were talking before about dictatures. Why I'm born in France? Because my grandfather was sentenced to death by dictatures that were military dictatures. But now in the 21st century, I think really the danger, it's the mafia dictature. The worst enemy of democracy, actually, is mafia.
Yeah, and look at Mexico.
Look at Mexico, that's really the point, you know. You can find out actually that in Mexico maybe mafia is stronger than the government.
Sure.
So I think that's the very, very important thing. People that really believe in democracy should take care of that. But politicians, I don't know why they're not really involved in that. Maybe because they're already part of the mafia, I don't know.
Musically, at this point, the band is starting to develop a sound, and you're incorporating other elements because you hear the reggae guitar, you hear some almost like funk bass. You know, you guys created a musical bed that was a perfect accompaniment to the message.
Mano Negra started playing in the subway in Paris before the band started being known and selling records. We started in the subway for a living. That's where I met all the musicians of Mano Negra. And so the people using the subway in Paris was very eclectic. There was people from a lot of different countries, different cultures. So we have to be able to play all kind of music to please all the people in the subway. So that was a perfect school to learn a lot of different styles of music. What really Mano Negra brought to me, and I really appreciate and I really thank Mano Negra all my life for that. With Mano Negra, I've been able to really travel around the world, not only traveling around the subway.
Casa Babylon also has an ode to Argentine soccer player Diego Maradona. Let's hear the song Santa Maradona.
Devenir champion du monde de football. Devenir champion du monde de football. Devenir champion du monde de football.
So full disclosure here, I am from Argentina, and I am probably more passionate about football than about most things in my life. So this song to me, this is soccer. You know, the sound of the radios narrating and of the fans in the stadium. I grew up next to a soccer stadium, and that is the sound of soccer. You penned another really beautiful song for Diego Maradona, and there's a lovely video of you singing for him. We're going to post it on our website, npr.org/altlatino. He's such a divisive figure in the world of soccer, and I was wondering, why did you pick to sing for him twice?
First time, it was when I was with Mano Negra, the song we heard before. It was because I spent 1 month or 2 months doing things there in Napoli, and it was totally crazy how Maradona was loved there by the time. You could go to any bar in Napoli, and there was always a picture of Diego Maradona and a picture of Maria Maddalena, Catholic. So that's where I found Santa Maradona. It was holy in Napoli. That was the first song. And the second song I wrote for my last CD, Radiolina, is when I have the chance to meet with Diego in Napoli again, and after in Argentina. And it's a song about Diego, but it's also a song about destiny, I think. The life of Maradona, it's an incredible destiny.
Right.
Coming from the ghetto, world champion, going up, down, falling in drugs, going up, going down. And so song is that, La vida es una tombola. You never know what's going to happen to you. And Diego is a perfect example of that. Some people say Diego is a kind of God, and other people say Diego is the devil. The only thing I say personally is it's not easy to be Diego.
So part of the thing we like to do with these guest DJs is we like to ask you what artists you recommend that we listen to, you know, artists from now.
Oh, there's so much artists that it's hard to say about everybody, but one is my big friend and professor. I think he's the, at 5 in the morning in a bar, is really our professor. is Tonino Carotone from Pamplona. I record for him an incredible love song, maybe one of the best I record in my life, called Me Cago Nel Amor.
How can we translate?
Hard to translate, but...
Sometimes I don't think you should translate. You just sort of go with it.
È un mondo difficile. È vita intensa. Felicità a momenti e futuro incerto. Il fuoco e l'acqua, concerto e calma, sonata di vento. È nostra piccola vita, è nostro grande cuore. Perché voglio credere nell'amore? Se non mi entiende, non mi comprende tal come io sono. Perché voglio credere nell'amore? Si me traiciona y me abandona cuando mejor estoy. Lo sabemos muy bien, entre tú y yo. Y aunque parezca no tienes la culpa es del amor. Es un mundo difícil, es vida intensa.
For people who may not know him, can you describe a little bit about him and the kind of music that he does?
So Tonino is a kind of chameleon coming from Pamplona in Navarra. And I met him, he played in an incredible band called Cojon Prieto y los Guajalotes. That used to play only kind of Mexican music. And after Tonino, always been a big fan of Italian music too, and especially from a great artist and also is a big professor for me, is Renato Carosone from Napoli. An old man, Renato Carosone, his music is totally fantastic. And so Tonino invented his new name called Tonino Carotone. And he made two albums, actually. I helped him to produce the first one. We produced together the song Me Cago Nel Amor together.
È un mondo difficile, è vita intensa. Felicità a momenti, è futuro incerto. Il fuoco e l'acqua, concerto e calma, sonata di vento.
Let's talk about your solo career with the Radio Bemba sound system. And the first album you released in 2001 is Próxima Estación Esperanza. Let's hear the song Clandestino.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino, yo soy el quiebraley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal.
You know, the song, you're talking from the perspective of an individual, but I've always had the feeling that with particular that song, you can be talking about a society or a group of people as well.
Clandestino is the reality of millions and millions of people actually in the world, no? That don't have the right to travel and the right to cross borders and do what they need to feed their families. That's one of the worst tragedies actually in this world. I wrote this song between Africa and Spain. I spent time in the refugee camps in Ceuta by the time. I experienced and lived a little bit with this reality around me. And it's terrible. I think some of us got the passport because we born in the right side of the wall. Other people don't have the passport and don't have any rights to travel around. It's not good. There's new laws, totally inhuman new laws coming in Arizona and Utah and a lot of states of that. I think they're not good and they're not very clever in the sense of first world should understand that first world is getting old and the youth is outside. And any kind of society that need to have perspectives of future need the youth.
How do you feel the role of music and a musician in that situation is? Is it to inspire the people to make a change, or is it an attempt to get the people in power to make a change? Or who's your message directed to, and how do you craft that song? How do you craft that music? What do you do to get that message across?
Well, the position of a musician can be very different. In the case of Clandestino, the song Clandestino is, I think, is almost journalistic, I should say. It's a work of a journalist saying, maybe in a song, what's happening around. And after, as a human being, it's not only maybe showing to other people and use the mic to explain the situation. It's also try to do things with the music and your music to change things and act like an activist, I think. Now we're touring in the US, and at the end of the tour we're gonna go to Arizona to make a free show there with all the activists that try to fight these crazy new silly laws, you know?
And I think the name of this album, which is Próxima Estación Esperanza, Next Station Hope, it's a really interesting name. I wonder, you know, you've worked so hard in your music to not only to protest, but to call out, you know, to speak the truth to power. When you see so much of what's happening in the world today, do you ever feel hopeless?
A lot of times when you see some situations around the world, of course you feel hopeless. Because it's very, very complicated and very terrible sometimes. But the really important thing, of course, it's always to protest. Mm-hmm. But the situation actually around the world is so bad that it's not enough anymore to protest. We have to protest, and also we have to try to find solutions. Because now it's obvious that the people that and the politicians and people that we vote for to find solutions, they're not gonna find. So we have to find our own solutions. It's going to be very difficult for us to find the global solution because we don't have the enough power maybe for that. But everybody can find solutions at the level of his neighborhood, at the level of his neighbors, at the level of little microcosmos, you know, and I really believe in that.
I think that there's a lot of precedent for that all over the world, either from, you know, Victor Jara or even Bob Dylan. You know, and I'm wondering about, with that in mind, you know, what is your songwriting process? Obviously, there's more than enough stuff to write about. How do you zero in on a particular subject, and then how do you craft a message for that?
There's no writing process. That's, I think, that what is wonderful is that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what comes first? Is it the idea, I want to write about immigration first, or is the tune come into your head first, the melody?
Is the idea, the idea is coming from a situation you're living. Inspiration is coming from kind of mix of casuality and something happening around you, or a silly idea coming in your head, or something very bad you saw around that makes you very sensitive to the situation. The only process is to, whenever the idea is there, is to plug it quick on the paper or write it. If you leave it and say, I will write tomorrow, or do it after it's gone. You don't have to be lazy. Whenever inspiration is there, you have to be ready for inspiration. But personally, for me, it's quite impossible to say, tonight I'm gonna sit and write a song about that or that or that. Mm-hmm. I can try, I don't sometimes, but I think it's not the right solution. The thing you're gonna write about has to come to you naturally.
Did you bring anything else that you want to share with us?
Oh, there's another very good friend. She's an incredible lady. I met her in Madrid long time ago when she used to busk in the streets. And she's from Granada, Andalusia. She's Amparo, the band is Amparanoia. And the song is En la Noche.
Tú si yo soy pobre, que no tengo pa' tabaco. Por no tener, no tengo ni casa ni trabajo. Mi nombre no aparece en la lista del paro. Pero al caer la noche yo voy calle abajo cantando
in the night.
Tell me a little bit more about Amparanoia.
Amparanoia is the name of the band. The lady, she's Amparo. And so she's a good friend of us and part of the family. And she's working a lot all around and making a lot of shows in Europe. She's been also really involved in Arizona lately. She worked, do a lot of music with Calexico, a band from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very, very strong woman, and the voice is very, very good. It's a very good friend.
A few times when I've seen you perform live, I've been impressed by the variety of people at your concerts. I've seen people who I expect at reggae shows. I've seen middle-class suburban kids. You know, it's all over, and your message resonates with so many different people. Are you ever surprised at how many people are tuning into what you're writing about?
I'm really, really proud of something in what we're doing. It's when I go to my shows all around the world, and I see the really eclectic mixture of the people coming to the show.
Mm-hmm.
People of very, very different communities joining together in a show. And the people from different communities that maybe in everyday life never cross themselves. And I think that's very, very, very important.
Manu, we have a couple of listener questions for you that I wanted to ask. This one comes from listener Anna Davis, and she says, Manu Chao is an amazing performer. I have never seen so much consistent energy. He kept the crowd totally pumped for 2 hours straight. I have never, truly, never seen that happen. And I'd like to ask him, what is his favorite city to perform in?
Just one city. Difficult question. I cannot answer this question.
Okay.
But no, I cannot answer because all the crowds all around the world are good. And for respect, I'm not going to say I prefer one. But if you push me a little bit, I should say...
Push.
I should say there's no doubt it's Argentina.
Oh!
Wait a minute.
No, it's true. It's not because of you, eh? It's true. The crowd there is totally amazing. Amazing. But okay. All around the world, the crowd is good. I think, really what I believe, there's no good crowds and bad crowds. There's only good bands and bad bands.
We have another question for you from our listener, Hania Bejarano. I hope I pronounced her name right. She says, how do you make sure you're being respectful to the cultures which have influenced you and not just taking their style?
That's a good question. I think to use a song, to use a culture, you have to get involved a little bit in it and spend your time and play with the guys and wait for the moment the guys say to you, okay, you're ready. For example, there's a lot of countries we go and play. Lately, I was in Japan and people say, Manu, when are you going to... do a Japanese song or something with our culture? I say, I'm not able, I'm not living enough here to really feel the thing. I could feel it would be easy to do something really quick, and because we are musicians and we can do the job, but it's not really felt. I think you have to spend your time and really know the culture to do that. So personally, my main influence out of my personal family influences is obviously South America. That's where I spend more time, and I really spend part of my life and playing and listening to people, not only in big venues, but most of all in bars and in the countryside and in the subway, in the neighborhoods, and spend my time and learn from that incredible professor that is South American music.
Your last album is La Radiolina. It was released in 2007. And really the last question that everyone wants to know is, when are we going to get brand new Manu Chao music?
I don't know, actually. For the moment, we're touring a lot. I've been recording a lot of songs and there's a lot of new projects that are already recorded. But I have to say, I'm a little bit lazy actually to sit and front a computer to mix. So I'll do one of these days. But I also have to say to all the people that not get worried. All these songs, maybe I'm gonna release one day in a CD. Already in internet, because I sing these songs in all the bars around, and people record with their phones, so it's already in the air.
Well, Manu, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been an honor that you were able to just take a little bit of time and spend it with us. Thank you so much.
For me too. Thank you very much.
What song do you want to go out on?
Okay, of this incredible band that was really important, I think, in all South America, Fabulous Cadillacs, yeah. Revolution Rock.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear all of the songs that Manu Chao talked about, as well as his songs and the songs from Manu Negra, on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook y el Twitter. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras, and that was Manu Chao. Thanks for joining us.
This has been At Latinos.
Sacudir.